Not a voice, I just Berachot Shalom Aleichem, and it's always a tremendous exciting experience just to see an olam that comes together for Limud HaTorah.
I forgot to announce that due to all the topics of the shiur, the numerous that everyone has the interest in getting, please absolutely no questions till after the shiur. Rebelski perhaps will stay around, but please do not interrupt with questions. Thank you.
I just want to add a mashahu. So to see a big olam that comes for Limud HaTorah is a schus and an exciting thing, there's no question. But you know, traditionally it's a day off, especially Thanksgiving was a day for finding all kinds of entertainment and excitement. Tremendous, we've come a long way. It's a reflection on the whole American scene. And entertainment and excitement is provided by Torah, especially in Chabura, a large group. It's Asher Chelkechem, it should continue to grow. It's a shining example for Klal Yisrael. Just a word of introduction. Chazal say, Haiman, the boy, Lemebi Chasidah. You want to become a chosid, which means you want to start doing things which are lefnim shir sadin. You got to know where to start. So there are three days that are brought in Chazal. And one is Lekaya Milad in Ezekiel. Everybody knows about that one. You need to make sure that you shouldn't be mazik anyone. The Gemara, it's a takeoff of that maimer, because in Bava Kama it says that a person shouldn't let thorns stick out from the wall of his home. Somebody might stand next to the wall and scratch himself or tear his clothing. That's where the memory of Lekaya Milud and Zikin begins. More discussion about that. The other Mandama says that Lekaya Milud the Ovis. Milud the Ovis is Poshet. The whole Pirkei Ovis tells you the code of behavior and attitude. Ben Odom Lachveir, Ben Odom Lamokar. The principles of life are in Pirkei Ovis. We say Pirkei Ovis in the summer. It's there in the Siddur a whole year, and it's poshet. That should be the beginning of Lekaya Milud, the boil of Mevi Chasida. The third one is Lekaya Milud the Brochas. And Milud the Brochas means all Hilchas Brochas. What brocha to make for what item, which has been Kedima, Ikir and Tofel, and all related halachas. There are many. And they seem to be sometimes a very complex, slight differences. I'll tell you a thought that occurred to me, and we'll go back to these items. Beginning of Perik Ketzat Mavorchem, which is the Perik and Shas, that deals with the brachas. So it says that Kolanena Boil Mazeh Beloy Bracha is Moal. Rabbi Yoino takes the Gemara literally. He says it means he got to be bring a korban me'ilah. If we had a Beis Hamikdash, a person who ate without making a bracha would have to go bring a korban me'ilah. Others say it's not a Shmoy, but Sof Kol Sof, whatever it is, it shows you the severity of being then without a bracha. But then the Gemara says that whoever eats without a bracha, so it says, Yelech Eitzel Chachomim, should go to Chachomim. So the Gemara says, Yelech Eitzel Chachomim, how could I help him? He did a nisir. Going to the Chacham is not going to get him a kapor. I guess that probably is a hint that, you know, not doing like some other parts of the world do. They feel that there's some kind of holy person who could absolve him of his sins. So the Gemara says, no such thing. Elo, Yelech Eitzel Chochav means Yilamdenu Hilchas Brachas Meikor, that he should be Baki in Hilchas Brachas. Okay. That's a good place to start when you talk about Hilchas Brachas. Start learning. Learn Hilchas Brachas and learn it thoroughly from beginning to end. Meikor, the Gemara says. And that way you get the whole structure of Hilchas Brachas. You know it clearly. Then Gemara goes 10 blocks through a long and difficult period, and at the end there's a Machlokes Tanoim just before the end of the period. What bracha you make on water? One mandama says Shachol Nibidvar. The other mandama says no. You make a boiling and Foshes Shabbos. The bracha that we use as a bracha achrona for most simple foods. So instead, that bracha boiren poshet shabbos for achronon. That's a bracha rishona in water. So the Gemara says, what's the halacha? Who do we paskin like? So the Gemara says, puk chazim mai amudabar. Go and take a look at that, what people say. Everybody says Meshachol Midvar. So there's no point in discussing what the halach is. Everyone knows the halach is Shachol, not Bar Nefosh, it's Rabbis, that's a Baruch Achroina, but not a Baruch Rishoina like Reb Tarfon says. I thought of an idea that it's a helpful thing to think about. What the Gemara says, Yelech Eitzel Chachomim. You should go to Chachomim if you don't know Hilchas Brachas. L'chayre, there's a tremendous need and a purpose in going to Chachomim if you don't know Halacha. It's to watch what the Chachom does. Learn from Ma'aser Rav. Look at the Chachom and see how he eats. I remember taking a look at the Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, sat down and ate a piece of cake. So I watched carefully how much cake he ate, and that he eats a huge shear that some people say it's required for Bracha Achrona. So I watched and I learned from them what's an ample shear for Bracha Achrona. But that seems to be all over. You watch this one, you watch that one. That's a big ikar by Chazal, and you didn't do that all the time. You learn Shimush Tamei Chachamim. You hang around the Chacham, and you get to learn from the way he does things and what should be done. So you want to say it won't help by brachas. It may help by a whole bunch of other things, but it won't help by brachas. Why? By brachas, it may be that for you, when you eat two foods, one is the ikir and the other one is the tofel. You make a bracha only on one, not on the second one. But the chacham, maybe both are ikrim and he eats them separately. Maybe the other one is an ikir. You can't tell by watching him. And there are many, many other things. The Gemara says they saw Rabbi Yochanan ate a zayas, and he made a bracha achrayna after the zayas. So the Bavli says because there was a shear and it was a larger zayas. So Yerushalmi says Rabbi Yochanan held that you make a bracha achrayna on a beryon, even if it was less than a shear. Quite obvious that you can't come to Maskona and learn halacha l'maisa just from watching. You have to ask. So the Gemara says, "Hoka oved le'isur." By watching chachamim, you'll get more confused. It's in hilchas brachas. Other things, yes, but in hilchas brachas, there's so many variations that you could always come to the wrong conclusion just by watching. Yelech etzal chochem salket daitach hoka oved le'isur. So the Gemara says there's only one way. Yelech etzal chochem v'ilandeno hilchas brachas me'ikor. The end of the Perek, though, the last piece of Gemara in the Perek, that after you finish learning Perek Ketzet Mavorchem, all 10 blot, now you know it, you were Mekayim, what it says, Yelech Ketzel Chachomim V'ilandenu Hilchas Brachas Meikora, then you could look and watch and observe. That's why the closing Gemara is Puk Chazi, take a look. Beginning, the Gemara says, it won't help you if you come and take a look. You have to learn. When you're finished, and you know already what to look for, what's important and what's not, and how to be medayik from the actions of the chachamim, so then you could look and find out. But in the beginning, looking is of very little value. It's kedai to think about it for one reason, because it may just give that little nudge that's required to begin a program of learning through Perek Ketzet Mavorchem and Poiskim, and then you'll get to be Boil of Mevi Chasida, to be Mekayim Mil of the Brachas, and move a long way. But let's go straight to what it says over here. Potato Kugel. But Potato Kugel is like this. Years ago, let me tell you a clown. If you grind up food and you can't see the food, it's all ground up, and the appearance of the original food is lost. Do you make a bracha on the original food? Would you make a bracha on Potato Kugel on Boi Pri Adomo? It's just the potatoes. Or do you make a shahakel because you can't recognize the potato? So there's a machloikis rishonim. The Rambam learns that it doesn't matter. Tomorrow shemiyachon, if you squash dates and other things and you can't recognize them, you still make the original bracha, and the fact that you can't recognize it is lemaylo lemoyrin. The Terumas Hadeshen, who's much later than the Rambam, but he's one of the primary poskim for Chachmei Ashkenaz. And the Rambam draws heavily on the Terumas Hadeshen all the time. And the Ramos and the Terumas Hadeshen says that there's one of two things. Either you recognize the source of the food that you have now, and then you make the bracha, the original thing, Adoma, Eitz, or whatever. And, it has to be something that you don't have to recognize, because you use, that's the normal, natural, usual method of preparing this particular peri. There are certain fruits and vegetables and minim, which are never eaten on their own, but they're always ground up and mashed and prepared in a certain way. So you can't say you lost the appearance because it was ground up, because that is the food. The food is the ground up item is the way to eat it. It's not a variation. It's not something that happened that makes you lose the bracha. That's what the Truma Tadeshin says. And that's the way we paskin. That's what our Mot says. In case of a Sofik, you go like the Rambam. But that's not the point right now. Potato kugel. You have potatoes that are not mashed up, and you still lose the appearance. You have a slice of potato without being mashed, without being ground up. One of the most common foods in the United States, potato chips. Well, all it is a slice of a potato. There's no grinding, there's no mashing. So of course you make a burger, I don't want that. But potato kugel is ground up. So pashtus, according to the Rambam, it should be an adoma, and according to terms of Deshin, it should be a shahaka. However, years ago, the preferred way of making potato kugel, everybody remembers, if you're past a certain age, that you used to have a ribas and a grater in the kitchen, and you took the potatoes and rubbed them back and forth, and you get a big pile of liquefied ground up potato, and put it into a bowl, put it in an egg, some breadcrumbs, whatever, and made your favorite way of preparing potato kugel. And it was impossible to recognize that kugel could have been anything else. It could be 10 different vegetables that went into it. Today, it's more common to have a machine do it, and the machine, but the chlal grinds it to leave little pieces, grains which are quite large compared to the old times when it was ground finely. And if you look closely, you could recognize a potato, the little pieces of potato. Be the consensus of the Rabbonim today that in a potato kugel, the way it's prepared today, you should make a bo pri adoma on you might ask, just a minute, I said that there's one of the ingredients is breadcrumbs. So in that case, we have a cloud called Shiyesh Boi Mechamesha Sabunin, Oymer of Boi Mina Mezoinas. It could be, a nice big handful of breadcrumbs go into it. But the answer is that the breadcrumbs are definitely in tofel. Why? Because it's there l'dvuke bi'alma. Remember that loshen. When it says l'dvuke bi'alma, it's there to make it cling together, to glue together the potato kugel. Because the potato itself would fall apart in your hands. But the kugel doesn't fall apart with the klal, and the reason is because it has that glue in it that's applied by the breadcrumbs. You know what it's called, the part of the breadcrumbs that supplies the glue. It's called gluten. That's because it has that's what glue. If you remember the way you used to glue together things in the second grade or kindergarten, so you took library paste, which is flour and water, and so, in fact, wallpaper paste is just plain flour. Mix it with water, and it's a very gluey substance, but it's paste. I mean, it's water soluble, but the gluten in the breadcrumbs keeps the potato together. And once it's l'dvuka bi'alma, so it's a tofel. It's not an ikin. Why? Because it serves the potato, the machal is a machal potato. And the other stuff is used to glue it together. So, b'derech klal, potato kugel should be a bar pri adoma, the ordinary potato kugel. But if you make it the old way and rub it with your ebison, it's a grater, there are two kinds, the square kind or the flat one. But most kitchens don't even stock these items anymore. But it's still, you could, and if it's pieces, then it's an adoma, and if it's ground up finely, which it probably is not, then you make a shahako. Okay. Wraps. Wraps is a little complicated. When they started making wraps, and there used to be two kinds that they sold a couple of years ago. One was just simply a very, very thin slice of regular bread. I haven't seen those around anymore. They stopped making them. And what they have is the kind of wrap which you sort of wrap around tuna fish or cheese, using that kind of thing. Now, it's hard to eat separately because it's a little very extra chewy and sticky and doesn't taste that good if you eat separately. But if you eat it together with the stuff that's rolled into it, so then it's a whole meal. It's a meal. It's the bread and the main dish all wrapped in one. So in that case, pashtus, it should be maitzi lechem and oritz and bench. It may come as a surprise that some people hear that, but let's say you have a layer of dough, and into the dough you put a layer of meat, or a layer of cheese, or a layer of fish, and another layer of dough on top, and baked it that way. You know, that's the subject of a very big machloikis. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says that you make it moitzi. Why? Because if the dough is regular dough, not flavored, and it truly doesn't come out like a cracker, and this Italian called this pasta. We somehow, the Jewish pasta is just elbows or something like that. But whenever it says pasta and you see that green colored sign all over it, you wouldn't walk in there. But the pasta is dough, and they put, of course, they could put cheese in one layer and the meat in the other layer. If we have our pasta, it's only cheese or only meat or fish or something like that, and that's a whole meal. Again, it's the bread and the main dish all wrapped in one. So the Mechaber says it's a moitzi. Mechaber says like this, that we know that one of the ways to make dough into a mezoinus is to give it a filling. Right? You fill it with nuts or fruit or sugar or jam or all kinds of different things. And like a pie. Just one example. Many items that we have could be regular dough, and you fill it. Kokosh cake, which is the Hungarian Michael, that's extremely popular. Chocolate and the cinnamon and the sugar that's inside. The dough is regular bread dough. Over there, it's a mezoinus simply because the filling is machal aroi. It's snack food, right? But what happens if you don't fill it with all the stuff that I just mentioned, the sweet, delicious cakey stuff, but you filled it with the items that I said before, cheese, or meat, or fish, right? Those are the three that are usually brought, and there are other items. And those are food, meal items, not snack items. And the filling is a meal item. Right? What's the bracha? The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says the bracha is the Moitzel Lechem and Aretz. Because you can't say that the filling turns it into a Machal Aroi, into a snack. This filling made a meal out of it. Instead of sitting down and eating a piece of bread or a roll or a bagel, and also eating all this other stuff next to it, you did a better job. You put it all together in one, and you made a full meal out of the one single item. And a large sandwich, even if it was baked together. Okay? And the Taz says that what going on here? Every filling in the world makes it into a mitzvahness. You can't differentiate between one kind of filling and the other. And most achronim, almost everyone, hands down, they paskin like the Mechaber, not like the Taz. Which means that these items that I just mentioned are a moitzi. If you have a kokosh cake, kokosh without the R, and the filling is not chocolate or cinnamon and sugar and all that, but the filling is, like I just said, meal filling. Right? So, in that case, it's baked together, you make a moitzi. Okay? The Mishpur says that at times when it's clearly a snack food, good example would be Franks and blanks, right? Franks and blanks or blankets. Take a little piece of frankfurter and put dough around it and bake it together. It'd be like the kind of thing that the waiters usually walk around and serve while people are milling around before a chasna. So that's clearly a snack food. Say you make a mezonos. But b'derech kol, any combination of bread, dough, and meat, and cheese or whatever, or cheese, and any combination like that is a moitzi. Unless it's made specifically in a little tiny dainty thing that you put in your mouth, pop into your mouth and just eat it. But if you sit down and make a meal out of it, which is usually anything larger than those small tiny items, then it's a moitzi. So that's the way we do. So you gotta be very careful. It's interesting. Says the first halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. Right away, Shulchan Aruch begins Hilchos Shabbos, and said you got to prepare special foods for Shabbos, and one of the foods that you prepare is pashtida, right? And for some reason, the people who sort of invented Israeli Hebrew, so they took the word pashtida and said it means kugel. That's the end of that. Pashtida means kugel. But that's never. Pashtida is not pronounced pashtida, it's pronounced pastida, and it's pasta. It's a layer of dough, and another layer of dough, and in between the meat or the fish or that stuff is, we usually don't eat it. I mean, but if you do eat it, that is the pashtida, which is a zeichel amon, because the mon had a layer of tal on the top and another layer on the bottom, and in between was the mon. So this pashtida will remind you of the mon. Anyhow, getting back to this, if you have the pasta or pashtida or the kind of food that the Mechaber describes, and I'll tell you where to look it up, because it's a good thing to see all this insight. It's the last sif in Kufnun Ches, the simon on Hilchos Brachos. It's the last sif. That's where the Mechaba deals with that. It's not brachas. Brachas is mostly later on, Reish Beis, Reish Gimel, that's brachas aperis. But the section in Shulchan Aruch that I just alluded to is a section that deals with bread, meals. And that's how he starts off, talking about meals. And the second siman that deals with meals and bread, he'll talk about bread that has various different ways of preparing bread, of baking bread. And at the end of that long siman, which contains all the stuff that is very important to know, you know, and the way you bake bread and pretzels and a thousand different combinations, it's all in, it's there. And the last sif talks about making baking dough and a meal type of filling in the middle of the dough. The poskim all say, like the mechaber and shulchan aruch, that you should make a mitzvah lechem and oritz and wash and everything. Now let's get back to wraps. The wraps, it's not baked together. The dough is baked separately, and the stuff that you roll into it, the tuna or the cheese, other items, but they're all meal items. They're not snack items, like cake items, pie items. They're meal items. That's usually, these wraps are usually used for. And even though they're not baked together, but this is what the wrap is baked, to be used as. And if you eat it without filling it, just nibble a little bit, some kind of stuff that you chew for a few seconds, you probably can make a mezuzah in it. But if you eat it as it's designed to be used, rolled with the meal food, the formal food, achilas kvar, so that is a mitzvah. Now, whoever prepared this list, this is a very educated list. It's one thing to explore, because each item requires a lot of insight. Pizza is something that you never get to the end of it. It's assumed by the world that pizza is mezoinus, and let's leave it at that. That's not that poshut at all, because according to the mechaber that I just mentioned, the pizza should be mighty. Because it has dough, and it's even baked together. You don't have the issue of rolling it after the baking. It's baked together with the goo that's on top, the cheese and the tomato. So, since it's all baked as one, so that's the last mechaber. And siman kufnun ches, it's not. It's hard to you know, to figure out why it's assumed to be a mezoinus. But let's leave it at that and not try to discuss a basic change over here. We'll take items as they are, kama shehem. The oilam treats pizza as being another form of pie. After all, they call it pizza pie. They but still, there's another problem. The other problem is, when you eat pizza, are you koveya suda? Because in that case, even if you eat pie, or any form of cake, if you eat it like kviya suda, so then you have to make a moitzi. Now, for kviya suda, you need two things. You need a sheer sha'achayrim koivin olav. That's the Lashon HaGemara, and Lashon HaShulchan Aruch. Ashir Shachayim Koven Olav means not with Yud. Some people, they take a half a kezias, and by them it's a full meal. And some people, they could eat like a whale, and it's not a full meal yet. But you can't look for this particular shir at what you do. You have to look at what the amount that's eaten in your... assumed to be the shir shacherim kovenolov. And that's a difficult thing, because there are basically two ways to assess the shir. One is if all you're eating is cake. Let's forget about pizza for a moment. If all you're eating is cake, go to Kiddush on Shabbos, right? And there could be 15 platters of all different kinds. There's the rogalach, and there's the pies, and the cakes, and the this, and the that. But they're all really cake, just different forms of cake. The most versatile food in the whole world is wheat. You can make so many different things out of it. According to one mandomer, the Eitz Hadas was a wheat stock. Now, when you make cake out of the wheat, okay, let's not discuss that, just take it as is, cake. Well, it's a very complex set of halachas which determine whether it's cake or bread, but let's leave that out. It's not on the list. And if you make cake out of it, so to make that into a moitzi, you require a shear. But there are two ways to eat cake. One is if the cake is the whole meal. And that happens very often. The cake is the entire meal, it's just cake. You sit and eat this, that, the other thing. By the time you finish with that, you know, rich man's Shabbos Kiddush, so you could hardly, carry all that stuff in your stomach and make your way home. But it'll be a very difficult job sitting and eating the meal that your wife so lovingly prepared. So, you gotta leave a little bit room. Now, if the meal is just cake, so then, the shir shachayim koyven olav is the shir for all stuff, all solid foods that are eaten during a meal, the large amount. Right? In America, people eat more than they did in Europe or whatever. So you eat the shir shachayim koyven olav means the shir of the cake which comprises an entire meal. On the other hand, there's a totally different way to eat bread, and that is to eat bread along with the meal. Take a slice or two or three of bread and eat other foods, soup and fish, and chicken, and if it's Shabbos, that's the Shabbos menu. But you eat other foods along with the bread. So how much bread do you eat when you're eating other foods and making it into a varied menu type meal? Well, that changes, And a couple of people are not that young here, like my age. 50, 60 years ago, the bulk of the meal was bread. And I would say that generally people took 5-6 slices of bread. That was for a meal. With butter or without butter, but there was a lot of bread. Today, most people eat 2 slices of bread, if that much. And so that's the shear, because it depends if you eat the bread as the meal or as the bread substitute, the cake rather. If the cake is a bread substitute, you're just eating along a pretzel or two instead of eating bread, right? And you can't eat a scrambled egg without eating some bread or something. So you got your scrambled egg in the morning and you want to take a pretzel. So the pretzel is the bread substitute. So the cake just fulfilled the job that of the bread, and the bread eaten in that way is only let's say, for argument's sake, two slices. Right? Some maybe claim it's more or less. I'm not going to go into that. But the shear, eaten as an adjunct to a meal that contains a lot of other items, or a few other items, so then it's a much different shear. Understand? So it's these two shiurim. So measuring the shear of cake, shacherim, koivin, olov, that means others, that means general people, not this Reuven or Shimon, the fat guy or the skinny guy, the younger one, the older one. Shir shacherim, koivin, olov means a standard across the board. Shir, there's still two shirim. One is how much is eaten at the entire meal, which could be quite a bit. I mean, you practically never reach that by a kiddush. I wouldn't be surprised if many people do. But the shir shat of eating the cake as a bread substitute, it's an easy shir to reach. And in that case, you got to wash. So even if you'll consider, like the world does consider, that the pizza is a pie, is a cake, but the amount of dough in it could easily reach shir shacherim koivin olav, either in manner A or manner B, either as a whole meal or as a bread substitute. So for that, it makes the amount of cake. But assume people always say that if you have one slice and you eat other foods along with it, it's still too little. It's not the sheer of the amount of bread eaten when you eat a full meal. And on the other hand, if there are two slices of pizza, so it surely is the equal to two or three slices of bread, for sure, or more. So then you do have the sheer shacherim koivin olav. Right. If you eat pizza alone, then you have to have the shear, which is equal to all the food that's eaten during the meal, which could be three slices. Probably not more than that, because it's hard to eat more than three slices. But this is the standard. Precisely how much I would say what I feel, but I'd rather not. You have to know the on what it's based, that's the ik. Okay? The two shiurim, to take cake and turn it into bread. One, if the cake is in volume equal to all the food eaten during a meal, and all you're eating is cake, but if you eat cake as a bread substitute and other foods along with it, then the shiur is totally different. It's not that you are metzare the old other foods to the shiur of cake. That's a tremendous mistake. It's that it's to eat the cake in a manner which people do when they use the cake as a bread substitute, then the shear will be the shear of bread that's eaten along with a regular meal that has various foods and bread. I'm not going to go through this whole thing, but I'll tell you some of the other stuff is easy. Onions. Now you know, I'll tell you, I can't say that everyone will agree with me. It says that when you eat onions, you just nibble on onions. So then you make a shahakal, because it's not a food that's eaten alone. The onions are usually, raw onions we're talking about. But when you chop it into something, so you might chop it into tomatoes or cheese or both. So there's a little bit of onion, it becomes a tofu. On the other hand, there are, in the springtime, there are these flat Texas onions that are pretty mild and pretty sweet. And people do eat them, and it's huge. It's not around all year, but the regular, Spanish onions or dry onions are the spherical shaped ones that are brown and have a hard shell on the outside and soft on the inside. That is pretty sharp. You really can't eat that kind of onion each other by a telephone. But then you don't, then you make a shakel if you do. You could, if you want to, you could, but you better be careful, you know. Get a bottle of Maalox right next to you. but the sweet onion that very mild, you make a bofi adoma. Okay. Sushi. Rabbi said, I'll give you what my opinion is. It depends who eats the sushi first. Take a Japanese fellow. Yeah, they're eating to the Japanese who are gayer, I suppose. Or people who are brought up in Japan and they eat it. Anyhow, be that as it may. To them, it's only another way of eating rice. All the food is rice. Rice for breakfast, rice for lunch, rice for supper, and it's just, it's kind of, and everything is just another way of eating rice. The sushi is 50% rice, 60%, 70%. You know, today there are so many different styles and variations, but the typical kind of sushi that's served, it's most, the outside is all rice, and then seaweed, the nori, and then inside there's a whole bunch of different things. All little tiny drops, but in volume the rice is most. And I feel that for a Japanese, it's just rice, the main thing. And the other stuff is, you know, condiments that, just like you have condiments that you put in a bagel, and kind of, they just fail them to the hiku, which is the rice. But again, that's not for most of the people sitting here in the room, for sure, maybe all. And the rice is tofu. In fact, if you look out of the corner of your eye and see a nice American guy with his slice of sushi, he might, when nobody's looking, he might flick off the rice and just eat the inside. But the rice just is in the way. So definitely not the ikur, that's for sure. So you won't make a bar mitzvah on the cooked rice. So what is the ikur? You have avocado in there, eight. You have fish, right? The shahaka. You have some kind of condiment there, some other vegetable, it's not doma. So how in the world could you determine what's the ikur and what's the tofu? You know, and only eat it toy chasude, but when it's served, it's as a snack food by a kiddush or something. So you're not going to sit down and wash it, make a full production, benching and all that. So, there's no way in the world you could determine and decide in your mind that today I'm eating the burning stuff, that's a wasabi, which is an adoma. That'll be my ikur. I'm in the mood for something to fire me up. And the way you have another time you want bedavke to be tying a little raw fish. Most of the time you can't decide. It's ridiculous to leave it to the day of a person who has to determine every single time he eats sushi what's the ikur. And the rice is tofu, unless you're Japanese or whoever else eats it like that. And there's one way to get around it. Without eating it, that's a way that American people love to be machmir, to eat a bunch of other things. So, to take something that's adoma, and something that's eight, and something that's a shahako, and then you're pretty safe, and that's it. And usually you don't have the Zion minim over there, so you don't have to worry about you know, Ein Gimel, long Bracha Freim, and say, oh, make a bar in the Poshet, and that'll be it. But that's the best I can tell you about sushi. If you want something better than that, find someone else who will give you something. Bagel. Bagel chips. Now, pita chips. I want to tell you something, Rabbi said. As far as I could see, the bagel or the pita chips are made by baking a solid piece of bagel, of regular bagel, regular pita, bread, which is fully bread. There's nothing in there but bread. And then, when it's all hardened, dried out, they take it, cut it up, and dip it in oil or something else. It's not easy, because the halacha is a little complicated. If you take bread and fry it or cook it, in order for it to lose its moitzi, two things have to happen. Number one, it has to be less than kezias, and if it's not fully baked, but it's only dipped and softened, in addition to being left on kezias, so you have to have it should lose its teriso denama. That means its texture, appearance, that bread has to be lost. If it's cooked, then you don't have to have both. Just less like his eyes, that's all that counts. But if it's dipped, which very often is the case, and soaked, it has to lose its tzitzis and be less than the kizayis. Otherwise, it's still a mighty, like when it started with. Now, there are people who will tell you, hey, wait a minute, I heard, you know, that what? I heard that. If the person who baked the bagel, the chatchila, had das, they wanted it, after the baking, to dry it out and to rebake it and to read. So that, it loses its bracha, moitzi, even if it started out as a complete bagel or a complete pita bread or any other kind of bread. But since the das of the person was to turn it into something else, so therefore you just disregard the fact that it was baked and cooked and this and that. The boy say, very entertaining to hear stories like that. Near Ayin Dalet, you know, Ayin Dalet, according to some, means Lanias Daiti, or maybe Loilum Hadimian, IT. The halacha is crystal clear in the Rishonim, and no one disagrees, that if you bake bread and you have machshav, that you plan to do something with it after it's baked completely, but after that you're going to do something that doesn't affect the bread, it still is bread. And the only way to take off the bracha would be if it's soaked till it loses its teresit nahama and less than kizayis, or if it's cooked, then just be less than kizayis is enough to take it away. And that's all. There's no other way. And what you had in mind is like Milov Lemoirit. Even if it appears in all kinds of publications. But the Rishonim don't say like that. And the Acharonim also don't say like that. They say that since what you had in mind to do after you finish baking, so is Lemoirit Lemoirit. If not, every time you make toast, so you'd have to make whatever mezainis, because you had in mind after it's baked to toast it. So what? Once it's baked into the bread, it's bread, that's it. The only thing that could take away is, like I told you, if it's soaked or if it's cooked and not toasted. And it's I already said, less than the Kazai is losing to these Nam and so on. But not if anything short of that, once it's baked as bread, whatever you plan to do it, whatever you have it does, it's 1 mile of Leimoyrens. Let's run through a couple of items and finish. Pringles, have I said. Pringles is a problem, because Pringles, as you know, is made from potato flour. It's not made from potatoes. It's potatoes are ground, made into flour, dried out, and then it's mixed with water and a bunch of other things are made. L'chatchil Reb Moshe had said that later on, Sof Chayev Reb Moshe said it's a regular, like regular potato chips. And the reason is very interesting. The din is that if this is the standard way of grinding up potatoes and preparing it, then even if it loses its hecker, then it's still the Bokradoma, like we discussed in the very first item. And today it became standard way, pretty much. Most cooks in the kitchens, yeshiva kitchens, all kinds of other kitchens, they'll tell you, they never make mashed potatoes. In fact, when's the last time you saw a potato masher being used in the kitchen? It's the standard way. It's very often to take the flour or the flakes and just mix it with water. You don't even have to cook it at the beginning when they produce the potato flour. So you have to recook it. You have to put it into boiling hot water. Today it's prepared in a way that doesn't require boiling hot water, and all you do is mix it with water. So that's how you get your Pringles. Mezainis rolls, Rabbi would say, if it's a roll that tastes like a roll, it's a moitzi lechem min haaretz. You know what? There's a word in English, an oxymoron. If you take two things that contradict each other, yes, combine the two together into one phrase or one word, it doesn't make it exist just because you sew the two contradictory terms into one. Mezainis rolls, if it tastes like bread, it's bread. Even if the sign says that it's roiv peiris and roiv this and roiv that, it's all nonsense. I don't know where these things came from. They're not found in the poskim, they're not found in the locha. They're found like the old Ayin Dalet, but not Anias Daiti Ayin Dalet, which means legitimate machshavas, which could be wrong here at the time or more. But it means oil medimian. It's not, it's just not. If it tastes like bread, it's bread. And cereals, that would take a long time because there's all kinds. There's Adoma cereals and there's Mizaina cereals and there's Shackle cereals. And you just gotta know what's the Cheerios. It's all Mizaina. Cornflakes, Adoma. Although, you know, the cheap cornflakes, which I haven't seen around too much, but they used to come in large cardboard boxes and they were made from corn flour, and there's a kind of got stuck in your teeth, and that is a shakel, but it's unusual. Most of the commercial corn flakes are above your doma, but it's a long discussion. Everything over here is a long discussion. If I had more time, I don't know. I'm sure that everybody's jumping to get out of here. So I guess I'll have to choose arbitrarily where to stop. Granola bars. Let me say one or two easy things. I'm not going to... Granola bars is almost always a boy priadoma. Granola is whole oats, and they're rolled and softened, and either they're just lightly toasted or more than that, but it's still, it's whole grain, and whole grain is not oat. On the Bracha Achrona, there's a, it's not an easy thing, because the Tosha says that Bracha Achrona should be Alhu Adoma Val Priya Adoma, when nobody makes such a Bracha. So the Tosha says Rabbeinu Tam first put it into his Siddur and then took it out later. But it says that you should eat it Torah Chasud, but the Bracha is Boire Priya Adoma and Bor Nefoshes. Soft pretzels. Most soft pretzels that I've seen are some Meitzelech Menorahs. Just because you decided to call it by the name pretzels, you know, be Korish, maybe throw a pretzel. But on the other hand, if it's sweet, you know, there are sweet or onion or something, but it's all flavor. A different story. Ice cream cones, there are two kinds. Everybody knows that. One kind is typical flavorless ice cream cone that's meant, you fill it up with ice cream, make sure to stuff in the ice cream so it reaches down all the way to the bottom. And then it's just hardly any taste, just a little, it's mainly like the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have the merkach of the kikin dakin that you filled with merkachas. The kikin dakin is thin crackers, and you filled it with the merkachas, which is exactly the definition of ice cream. Any other kind of thing, by the way, too. You can fill it with a dessert of some kind. But the ice cream cone, typically the way it's eaten here, is shahakal on the ice cream and no bracha at all on the cone. However, if you have the other kind of cone, the how you call it? Chocolate or sugar cone, right? So that stuff is definitely a mezonos, because there are two brachas. The ice cream is by itself a nikur, and the sugar cone is also a nikur, and it's a mezonos and a shahakon. Rav Moshe Tzatzal, I heard me fifth kotche, he said the same thing about ice cream sandwiches. Okay, the sandwich is made from very delicious cake, and the ice cream is ice cream. You can't make one the ikur, the other the tofel. It's not like a blend of ice cream and cake. It's two separate macholim that are eaten together. Okay? Yeah. All right, just for less than 60 seconds, applesauce is discussed in the Achrona. The Taz says it's a boy for AIDS, others say it's a shahakal, because it's not nikir. And there are a lot of other fruits that also look the same as applesauce. So there are different shittas. The others are not even like the Taz, make a boy for AIDS, and others say that it's a shahakal. Chocolate covered almonds and raisins are much as a tshuva. He says, chocolate covered, let's take chocolate covered peanuts first. He says, make a boy pri ha'etz on the chocolate, or shahakal on the chocolate. Rather, and make a boy pri adam on the peanut. When you come to chocolate covered raisins or almonds, then you run into a major problem, because how can you make two brachas? Because the chocolate itself might be by eight, so if you make an eight on the almond, so that may take care of the chocolate. But you could solve it the good old way and just eat a bunch of other things along with it. Now, blueberries, Rabbi say, is a boy for your eights. Okay? Blueberries grow on trees. Trees, they have a woody stem, always. A woody stem and branches coming out. Some of them are very low, some of them are taller. But cranberries, is it boy for your adoma? Cranberries don't grow on a woody stem. They grow on a soft vine, and when the winter comes, it's all gone. It's under the ground. The roots are left. So cranberries is boy for your adoma, and blueberries are boy for your ice. Okay? And grape juice from concentrate for kiddush. I would say, if you could make boy for your gofen and make it for kiddush. Make kiddush from it. I don't understand the various days that came from Eretz Yisrael, and that the different reasons to say that it's not the boy for your gofen, whatever, I don't know what it means. I'll tell you one thing. Just the Gemara in Shabbos says that if you dry out wine and make it into a sticky goo, which later, and later you restore it, come on, what's the word? Reconstitute. Yeah. And you put in water, and back, it's back to be the same strength as the wine. So it's a vopragofen, and you can make kiddush from it. As I say, so Tosfos says so, and I can't understand any of these chilukim that it said. Rav Moshe said so, and everybody here in America said so. There's not one person said differently. He later took about saying that there's a chilik, that there's a chilik between grape juice that's concentrated and wine that's concentrated. So this, nobody here in this Medina made. So unless you're here, unless you take a trip to Eretz Yisrael and something like that, maybe. But that's the accepted sack from all the poiskim to make a boy pragofen on the reconstituted grape juice. Rice and rice cakes, Moshe held, it's all zaynus, and the only time is when this whole rice and like puffed rice. By the way, Rice Krispies, Rabbi say, they're not individual kernels of rice. They're not individual. They're mashed and made into a big dough, and they're pushed through an extruder, and that's how they're made. Okay? The puffed rice is separate kernels, and they're blown into. And puffed wheat is a boy pri adoma. Puffed wheat, each grain is a single kernel of wheat, and when you have a single kernel of wheat, you make a boy pri adoma, and you run into the problem of the Baruch HaKroina, Rabbeinu Tam's problem. And yippee, we finished the list. Okay, now boy, sorry. I'll tell you again, what should I tell you? I don't like to be redundant, so I won't say what I said before, but I'll tell you here. It's a marvelous accomplishment. A tzibur that's gathered together for the tachlis of learning, for rabbin, Torah, all year long, and involved in Asher Chalkechem. And the bencher with the biggest bracha. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, Chai Man, if he's it's Moichi Rabbonon, and if he loves Rabbonon, and he's Dochel Rabbonon. So the Gemara says one of them, Moichi Rabbonon, he'll have Chasni Rabbonon. If he loves Rabbonon, so he'll get Benim Rabbonon, and if he's Dochel Rabbonon, then who Atzmai Neve, Talmud Chochem, and if he's not holding by that, so then his words will be honored like people honor the Minchachem, and definitely is, I see over here a tzibur that Moikir Rabbanan, and Rochem Rabbanan. Rochem means he loves Rabbanan. Moikir Rabbanan, Rochem Rabbanan, Doch Rabbanan. So, what could I do? What I could add is that you should all be avenged, and have children and Edoms, and you yourselves should be Rabbanan and Matzlich and everything.
Raps have a Teresa de Bahama. The raps have a Teresa de Bahama.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They're so thin, it's not like the kids are just look. It talks about the waffle.
Yeah,
we're going to bench now. I forgot to mention that the Shia is sponsoring the Fush Labor for Yisrael Zevin Schwitzer, Yal Basir, Bas Rino. Yeah, hi, anybody who has a Hyundai Accord E2019 X5 Silver Hyundai Accord they're blocking a lot of cars, yes, please do it now. Thank you very much.
Okay, so they don't, but when you mix it together, when you put it together with the car,
it's a hot market.
Then it's Mamshah to Teresa de Nama.
So like a lasagna that they say is so thin that that doesn't have it. The noodle place says, so lasagna should be Hamaitzilin.
I always thought like that years ago, but the lasagna, when you look after it's prepared, always the pan fills with
oil.
Oh, it's cooked.
It's cooked.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's cooked. Such a taste.